Amen. It's good to see everybody out to the home group meeting tonight. Amen. Before I get going, I would just like to thank all those that have listened over the internet and all the emails that I get, and I try to answer all of them. If you sent me an email and I haven't answered it, I apologize, and I will get to it. But I try to answer them as I get them in, and then I prayerfully answer them. I just don't go ahead and answer them. I try to prayerfully answer them. So if you send an email, I thank you very much. And if I haven't returned it, I will get it to you. Amen? Well, let's go ahead and get into what the Lord would have for us tonight. Tonight we're going to be looking at Wilderness Truths for Modern Times, number 44. But before we go ahead and talk about Wilderness Truths for Modern Times, number 44, well, what I'd like to do is look at some points that we looked at last week to kind of get our heart and our mind and our spirit back into what we last month, and then we'll go ahead and go right into what the Lord has for us tonight. And there's three points I like to take from usually what we talked about last month. And the first point, there is a possibility in seeing God now. The last month we talked about seeing God. And there is a possibility of seeing God now. In Exodus 33:20, God said that no man shall see God and live. Well, that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said in Matthew 5:9 that the pure in heart shall see God. Do you know that we can see God today? Amen. The 20th of June, 2017, we can see God. We don't have to wait to go to heaven. I was in a church a couple Sundays ago, and I was kind of sharing along these lines, and there were four special needs. There were four special needs adults sitting there, and I was talking about that. I came down off the off the pulpit, and I was talking to the people there, and I just kind of pointed to these four special needs adults, that the pure in heart shall see God. And they were special needs, and their hearts, not saying they were pure, but their hearts weren't as our hearts have been infiltrated with a lot of things. And I just stood there, and you talk about an example, what a powerful example that was, and everybody got that one, even me, amen? So, the more our heart is pure, the more our heart is pure, the more we shall see God. Seeing God is not with these eyes, of course, it's our eyes of understanding. So, the purer our heart is, the more we allow God to work in our life, the more we allow God to take us and break us and mold us, the more God takes us to the wilderness. And the wilderness there is not a barren place, believe it or not. The wilderness is a place that God takes us to so that He can work into our lives. The wilderness is a place where we learn who our Beloved is. Song of Solomon 8:5, who is He coming up out of the wilderness leaning on His Beloved? The wilderness is a place of hard times, confusion, difficult places in our life when we don't understand what's going on. But that's the place that God takes us so that He can teach us, so He can mold us, and so He can share us, and which is the wilderness truths for modern times. Amen? And that's where that kind of came from. And the last point we'll quickly look at is the more we can see God, the less we will be concerned about what He does for us. Wow. The more we can have a clear picture of God, the less we'll be worried about God come and heal me. God come and give me this. God come and give me that. The more we can see God, then that will be enough.
That's right.
I won't need a new car. I won't need a new house. I won't need any of that stuff. I can see God, and that's enough. You know? And that happens when we have a pure heart. Remember, the pure in heart see God. Amen? And so that is something for us all to strive for in our life, to allow God. But I will tell you, as Mike and I were talking, as we were looking for arrowheads and we were walking, that getting to know God and allowing God to purify our heart is a very painful process.
Mm-hmm.
because God has to bring us down, and we don't like to come down. Our flesh screams, I want to live, 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 and God says, no, I want your flesh to die, die, die. And the more we can die to ourselves, the more we can move away from ourselves, the more our heart will be purified, and the more we'll be able to see God. Amen?
Amen.
Tonight, let's go ahead and look at What Are the Truths from Modern Times, number 44. The verse there is Psalms 34:7. Kind of an interesting verse. And it's here, the angel of the Lord. Now, anytime in your Bible you have the Lord, L-O-R-D, that is referring to God the Father. That's always referring to God the Father, the, you know, of the Trinity. And it says, the Lord, God the Father, encampeth around them that fear him. So who wants God to encamp around you, to be around you? Now, that's me. I'm raising my hand. Well, he is only around those that fear him. And that word fear is not like God's going to hit you with a stick or something like that. That word fear has an awe and an understanding of who God is. That's what the word fear there means. It's awe. It's where we get the word awesome from, where our hands are like this. Our hands hang at our side and our knees are weak. So those that have that awe of God, and he will then deliver them. Amen? So what I like to do, I like to talk about heaven on earth tonight. Heaven on earth. Now, heaven is a kind of an interesting topic in the Bible. The Bible, when we talk about details and things, the Bible really doesn't talk about heaven that much. And I think that's probably out of design, because I don't know about you, but I have certain thoughts and expectations about heaven. And so do you. Like my sweet, beautiful wife, she is always telling me about this brownie tree that she wants to have in heaven. Now, I don't know if it's going to be a brownie tree. We were talking today as we were riding back, talking about animals in heaven. And I don't know, you know. My wife also has an M&M fountain, you know. But, you know, we all have these expectations and these different things about heaven, and they come out of what we've been taught. Right? They come out of what we've been taught. And the songs that we sing, and all of these things. And so, the Bible really doesn't talk about specific details, and it talks with generalities, but it doesn't give us all the details. But I'm here to say that you can have heaven on earth tonight. You don't have to wait to die to go to heaven. Amen?
Amen.
So, heaven on earth. There is more in heaven there on earth than most people suspect. The word encamp there would indicate a lifestyle of a place and a condition. The word encamp there means there is a lifestyle of place and a condition around those who fear him that rescue them. Would indicate that the place to be on earth. That verse is saying, because we are on earth, that is talking about being delivered, not in heaven, but on earth. Now, to kind of understand, I'm going to give a little quick background on the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven is the place. That's the place that we're all going to go. Who's going to go to heaven? Amen. I hope I see you there. Right? That's the kingdom of heaven. But that's not the kingdom of God. I will say, if you do not come into the kingdom of God, you probably aren't on your way to the kingdom of heaven. Because the kingdom of God, what Jesus says in Luke 17:20, says that the kingdom of God is within us. The kingdom of God is within us. Peter tells us that the kingdom, I'm sorry, Paul in Romans 14:17 says that the kingdom of God is not meat, but it is joy and love and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. That is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not a place. You can't get a job in the kingdom of God. And unless God can work in your life and bring you into the kingdom of God, to bring in that love and that joy and that righteousness in the Holy Spirit in you, like I said, you probably aren't on your way to the kingdom of heaven. Amen? The kingdom of heaven Okay, well, I'll just go ahead on and I'll pick up that thought. Amen. The word indicates that there is a lot of heaven with us in the here and the now. When we are taking, when we are taken into the wilderness, heaven goes in with us. For heavenly beings to stay with us, they must live there. For the sake of the prophets, Isaiah here in 2 Kings 6 and 17 said, and Isaiah prayed and said, Lord, I pray there, open up his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened up his eyes of the young, and now he saw, and behold, the mountain. This was on earth. Behold, the mountains was full of horses and chariots and fires around us. Heaven truly came down that time, and glory filled his heart. Amen. Heaven is only heaven, as we think of heaven, is a place of the Spirit. Heaven is a place of the Spirit. Now, that's a very, very important point. Heaven is a place of the Spirit. Heaven actually is found, the kingdom of God. And as we talk about heaven, not the kingdom of heaven, but heaven is a place in our spirit. Or, what are you afraid of? Angels? Hebrews 1:14 says, and they are angels, not all ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation. There is nothing to fear. The provisions of God for us are more than what we can possibly imagine. Even food was brought down from heaven to the wilderness to feed the people. One of the reasons why we do not come into this understanding of the kingdom of God and heaven and this heaven on earth is because of fear. Fear will stop us from seeing God. Did you know that? Fear will stop us from seeing God. And fear, believe it or not, is not from the devil. Fear is not from the devil. Fear is the product of our selfishness and our pride. Proverbs 13:10 says, but for pride cometh contention. All contention in our life comes out of selfishness and pride. All contention, only contention, Proverbs 13:10, only because of pride and selfishness in our life is the problems in our life. Amen? Fear will stop us from seeing God, and we must not allow that to happen. We must not allow fear to grip our hearts. We must constantly keep looking at the Lord and allowing Him to move us through some areas in our life. Amen? Most believers have the dreams of going to heaven, and I have a dream of going to heaven, and I will be in heaven. But before that happens, God brings heaven with all of its appropriate provisions to us. Let me say that again. Before we go to the kingdom of heaven, believe it or not, God will bring to earth all of the provisions to us. Amen. Romans 11:6 says, but the righteousness which is of faith spreadeth on the wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into the heavens? That is to bring Christ down from above. I'm not so concerned about going to the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. I am more concerned about Him. And that is what Paul was saying in Romans right here. He was saying, who shall bring Christ down? Well, He's already down here, and so I'm not so concerned about going to heaven. I'm concerned about being in Him. I have always, well, I'll be honest, I'm not so concerned about going to the kingdom of heaven. That's not my focus. That is not my focus in life, I'll be honest. Right now, if I go to the kingdom of heaven, that will be fine. But I would rather now live in the kingdom of God and allow that joy and peace of the Holy Spirit to work in my life so that I could tell people about Jesus. I am not so concerned about going to the kingdom of God. I am more concerned about being in Him.
Amen.
In Him. If I am in Him, Christ in me, hope of glory, then that's heaven. That's heaven. I don't have to go to heaven. You know, we say we're going to pray and ask the Lord to, you know, come down to us. Well, or we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Have you ever heard that? We can't go to the Lord in prayer. We can't go to the Lord. He's already here. The Lord is here. That's just idle chatter there. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. No, 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 no. He's already here. The Lord has come to us. He has come all the way from heaven, the kingdom of heaven, down, and He's right here with us tonight. Heaven came down, and glory filled our hearts. If we cannot bring heaven to us on the earth, we may not be able to go to the kingdom of heaven after we leave the earth. God must be able to bring heaven, all of those things that we consider about heaven, to us. Amen. Rather believe that God has brought heaven to us. There is no need to live there now. Oh no. For the present, we are stuck on earth. Live in God's presence and enjoy heaven in the wilderness. We are to go ahead and enjoy those things that God has for us and He brings to us as we are on this earth and we are in the wilderness. And there is more, you know, the more we live in God's provision and His presence, which God comes to us, the more the earth will fade away. The more we can live in heaven on earth. Now listen, the more we can listen or live in heaven on earth, the more the earth's cares and problems and all of the distractions and all of those things will fade away. The more we can allow God to work in our life, the more we can allow God, you know, just to, and we can see Him and we move in Him and do all of those things, all those wonderful cliches. The more we can do that, the more we allow God to give us His provisions and all of those things, the more the things of the earth will just fade away. If we deny ourselves the nearness of heaven, then where is God? God's way out there in space. Well, no, He's not. God is down here with us. His presence is down here with us. Amen? Where are the angels of God? They're down here with us. Wow. Where is the work of God? We are the work of God. The work of God is happening in us here on earth. Where are the provisions of God? If heaven was not so near to us, then all of these things, God and the angels, the work of God, if heaven is not down here, then all of those things would be beyond our reach. But heaven is down here. Heaven is on earth. And all are at our devotional call. All of God's in heaven, all of the stuff in God in heaven is at our devotional call or our commitment call. The more we're committed to God, the more we're devoted to God, the more that God will be able to give His things. In Matthew 25, it says that the master gave the servant his goods. It wasn't the servant's goods. It was the master's goods. And the master gave the servant his goods. And why did he receive those? It was because the servant was faithful. The servant was devoted and he was committed to the master. And then the master could, you know, entrust the servant with that. That all that God has for us, forever and ever, they're at our disposal right now. God is not going to wait to give us some super blessing when we die. He's not. What God has for us is for us now. He wants to give us everything. Wow.
Wow.
But it all depends upon us. Are we going to be devoted? Are we going to be committed to Him?
Amen.
As in the words of Sinai, God has brought heaven down among us.
Hmm.
If salvation is in heaven, how are we going to receive it? It's not. Salvation is down here on earth. If we need physical healing and it's in heaven, what good will it do us? If we need deliverance and it's in heaven, how are we going to receive that? All of that is not in heaven. It's down here on earth. All that God has for us, including God, all that God has for us, including God, is on earth for our need. For our need. Not our needs. Last month we looked at the 1 Peter 5:7, and a lot of people will go ahead and mistranslate. They add an S to cares, and they say, Peter said, cast your cares on the Lord. Well, cares are things, but it says care. 1 Peter 5:7, there's no S, it says care. So we cast our care, and that word care is an adjective, and so we cast our care about things or for things on the Lord because He cares for us. And it's the same thing here for our needs in Philippians 4:19. It says that God will supply all of our needs, not needs. Needs are things. We need to get past wanting things. We need to get past wanting things. It says need. Need is an attitude. It's a dependency on God. Cast your need. My need for God is a greater dependency on Him. Needs are things. I need a new house. I need a new car. As God is able to work in your life and you begin to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, He will take you out of all of these needs that you want. And when you can develop that dependency upon Him, then I promise you, God will give you everything. Give me all your needs. Won't you, Brother Darrell?
Yeah.
Give me all your needs. But that's not up to God. God wants to do that. But first, we must go ahead and develop that dependency on Him. And that's what that word me there is, the dependency on God. The more we depend on God, the less we depend upon ourselves. And then God is able to meet our needs. Amen? But it all comes down and touches out our lives here on earth. A song by John W. Peterson expressed it this way: Heaven came down and glory filled my heart. Have you ever had heaven to come down and for glory to fill your heart? Most Christians haven't. Most Christians, they come and they go to church and they've never allowed the glory of God in any sense of the word to touch their heart. You talk to most Christians, they've never really experienced and had a... I was talking to Mike and Dave today, and we were talking about a move of God. I can remember growing up as a boy, sitting in church, and suddenly, bang! Out of nowhere, the Holy Spirit would just drop, and then people were crying and praying and running to the altar, snot running down their nose, tears. I haven't seen that in years. Have not seen that in years. Well, that's because they don't have that need for God. There's not that dependency on God. I really believe that's one of the main reasons we're always stuck on ourselves and we can do it and all that good stuff. Amen. Amen. But heaven came down and glory filled our heart. God expressed it this way in Deuteronomy 11:21. That your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sweareth unto your fathers is given them as the days of heaven on earth. This is God's intention. to bring heaven, all that is in heaven, our expectation, what heaven is to bring that all down here on earth. This is God's intention for us. He is doing His uttermost, believe it or not, to get heaven down to man on earth. And we don't have to wait, as I said, to go to heaven. Amen? God intends for us to experience the heavenlies. The heavenlies. Paul said he was caught up into the third heaven while on earth. He was caught up in the third heaven, and that's the kingdom of heaven. The third heaven is the kingdom of heaven. Paul was caught up there into the third heaven. Wow. Holy cow. And that happened while he was down here on earth. And he had some parting thoughts. The purpose of the wilderness, that difficult areas in our life that we go through, I don't know about you, but I go through some difficult areas in my life.
Amen.
And they're not to kill us, believe it or not. These difficult situations and circumstances in our lives is for us to grow and to make us prosperous. The word prosperous in the Bible has nothing to do with money. Biblical prosperity has everything to do with to push forward in God. Joseph, when he was in prison, God said of Joseph, and all he had was a diaper, basically, with a loincloth. God said of Joseph that he was a prosperous man. But he had nothing except for he had God. And when you have God, you know, that is enough. But the purposes of the wilderness, the difficult times, is so that God can work in our life and teach us, and so that we come to know God, is to get heaven into our soul. All of those difficult things that we go through in life, all those things that we don't end up, and we don't want to face, and why does that happen, and all of that stuff happens so that God can get heaven into our soul. Heaven came down in the wilderness of Sinai. In the wilderness of Sinai. If that truth is worked into our lives, then our hardships, our trials, our testing, our temptations, as well as our sufferings, fade into nothingness. If God can bring heaven down and get it into our soul, then there will be nothing that we will be able that we will face in our physical life on earth that we can't handle. Nothing. Nothing. I mean, you know, testing, temptations, sufferings, all of that fades away. They say that there'd be no tears in heaven. Be no tears in heaven, then why do we cry when things beyond our control happen? If we can allow God to bring those things that He has for us now from heaven, then there will be nothing that will be able to move us. Nothing. Nothing. Wow. Powerful, powerful. The glory of heaven overwhelms the situation. It overwhelms the circumstances and all of the difficulties. It brings down to us the victory that we need. God has the victory for us. And we must allow God to bring that down to us through our obedience and all of the commitments and all of those things that we must do. And in that, we can see God and learn of Him and His ways. My sweet, beautiful wife, Karen, always talks about this life, and she makes the analogy, since we both were in the Navy, she makes the analogy that this life is a boot camp. It's a boot camp. And we are living this life, and we are learning, and we're growing, therefore grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3:18, so that we will be able to be useful in our next life. This life is about learning, about God working in us and showing us how He operates, how He functions, how all of these things will come together so that we'll be useful in this life, but more, I believe, of a greater degree in the next life that we have. Amen? And if we can bring that victory to us, if we can learn of Him and His ways, wow, here be heaven on earth. If we partake of His provisions, it is our choice. It is our choice tonight. Do we want for heaven now, or do we want to go ahead and wait in the sweet by and by for heaven and not on earth? Amen. Come, let us follow the beckoning of God towards the wilderness, that we may experience heaven on earth. In the wilderness, we learn it is God's provision and His presence that sustains our very life. It is the provisions and the presence of God that sustains our very, very life. Amen. Rise up. Move. Look to the northeast. The wilderness of Paran. The wilderness of Paran is waning. So now we went through in the Red Sea and Shur, and we went through, the wilderness of Sinai, and now we are going to be moving into the wilderness. There's 8 different wildernesses that the children of Israel went through, and each one of the wildernesses has a spiritual significance to us. And so Sinai was for purposes in the children of Israel and for us to learn so that we won't make the same mistakes that they did. And now we're moving out of Sinai. 11 months the children of Israel were in Sinai. And now we're going to be moving to the wilderness of Paran is waiting. Lessons learned, training completed for now. God met with man, but did man meet with God? And that answer was no. God wanted to talk to the people, but the people did not understand God. They were afraid when the mountain shook and the smoke and the fire, and they sent Moses, and God never met with man. God's laws and patterns of worship was given a place of personal benefit, prosperity, success, and victory. These were all the things that were accomplished with the children of Israel at the at Sinai, in the wilderness of Sinai. 11 months they passed around the mountain. This vision, the strength, and the faith has been developed in them. The glory of God is next, or is it? It was God's intention in Sinai for God to meet with man so that heaven could come down to earth. But the people turned away from God. Only Moses got to truly experience heaven on earth. Only Moses, of all the millions of the Jewish people that left Goshen, only Moses really had the opportunity to experience heaven on earth. But I say, how about us? How about us? Sinai was the high dwelling place of God. Sinai was the dwelling place God desires to abode with man. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to You now, dear Lord, we just thank You and we praise You for this teaching, Father. Lord, we love You and we thank You, Father, Lord God. Lord, now that You would just take this word and lay it at our hearts, Father. All that ends up hurt it, Father, Lord God. Lord, now that You would just take this broken bread, Father, Lord God, and just feed it, Father, Lord God. Nourish souls, Father, Lord God. Encourage people, Father. And we just love You and we thank You, Father, Lord, for Your glory and all of Your many blessings in our life, Father, Lord God. Lord, let us see You, Father, high and lifted up in Your train filling the temple, Father, Lord God. Let us, Father, Lord, come in to all that You have for us, Father, for this heaven on earth. And we just thank You and we praise You. We pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.